This is Africa Digest. Good evening and welcome to Africa Digest on Channel Africa's Voice of the African Renaissance. We're broadcasting live from Johannesburg in South Africa. I'm your host. My name is Kope Diwa Namani. With me is Busani Masebula. Our top stories this hour: world leaders fondly remember global icon Nelson Mandela, and today marks 17 years since the signing of South Africa's constitution into law. In our economics news, a report says South Africans are buying more property abroad, and in sports, the world joins the chorus of remembering Nelson Mandela. All these and more coming up, but first, it's time for the news.
South African President Jacob Zuma has thanked foreign dignitaries, including heads of state and other international dignitaries, for traveling to South Africa to share the grief of the country's people following the passing of former President Nelson Mandela. President Zuma delivered a key address at the Madiba's National Memorial Service at the FNB Stadium in Johannesburg.
Everyone has heard a Mandela moment when this world icon has touched their lives. Let us begin before by thanking all heads of state and government, international delegations present here today. We also extend our deepest gratitude for the messages of condolences that we continue to receive.
African Union Commission Chairperson Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma paid tribute to Mandela.
We thank you for your countless sacrifices for us and for the rest of humanity. The lessons you've taught us, including that looking after your health is as important as your revolutionary duty. You have lived a beautiful life. You've equipped us with a better world than the one you were born in. Hambaga Sheta, Kawela Makawe.
U.S. President Barack Obama has hailed former South African President Nelson Mandela as the greatest leader of the 20th century. Obama has joined more than seating former heads of state at the FNB Stadium in Johannesburg for Madiba's official memorial service. Obama says Madiba has been a great example for leaders in the whole world.
Born during World War I, far from the corridors of power, a boy raised herding cattle, tutored by the elders of the Zemu tribe.
UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says Madiba will always be remembered as one of the greatest leaders of the world. Moon says that the UN had always supported Mandela and the people of South Africa in their quest for freedom.
South Africa has lost a hero. We have lost a father.
The world has lost a beloved friend and mentor. Nelson Mandela was more than one of the greatest leaders of our time. He was one of our greatest teachers. He taught by example. He sacrificed so much and was willing to give up everything here for freedom.
Former Zambian President Kenneth Kaunda has urged South Africans to follow Madiba's teachings while speaking to the media after arriving for Mandela's memorial service.
God knows that he's a lover of human race. 27 years in prison, breaking stones, digging stones, he comes to say, we are going to work together. A great touch
and a great action.
So for me, he's a redeemer. Yes.
And that's your news.
This is Africa Digest. countries of the world have been joining South Africa in prayers for the repose of the soul of Dr. Nelson Mandela. Millions were glued to their television screens to watch the National Memorial Service at the FNB Stadium in Johannesburg. In Cameroon, hundreds of people have been trooping to the South African High Commission in the capital, Yaoundé, to mourn the departed hero. Church services were also held in the Central African country to ask for the peaceful rest of Mandela's soul. Channel Africa's Moki Kinzeka reports from Yaoundé.
Loudspeakers blared gospel messages in selected areas in Yaoundé, asking for the peaceful return to eternity of South Africa's first black president, Nelson Mandela, who slept in the Lord last Thursday. Church services have been dedicated to Nelson Mandela, but the point of attraction is South Africa's High Commission in Yaoundé. When Channel Africa got there, South Africa's national anthem was being played in honor of the fallen hero. A 14-year-old girl brought natural flowers and told me she was giving them to Miss Zenale Makina, South Africa's High Commissioner to Cameroon, for onward transmission to the Mandela family. She told me Mandela has been a source of inspiration.
I brought a bouquet of flowers to express my condolence to the entire South Africa family here at the High Commission.
Staff of the High Commission, like Yvonne Sue, share the pain of South Africans.
When I think of Papa Madiba, I think of peace. He fought. If you can see, I'm putting on the green dress today, just as green signifies peace. That is why I decided to put on the green dress, because when I think of him, I think of peace. Look at that, South Africa, what he had to go through, but he had to take them through. And he is not only an icon for South Africa, the world at large. In a way, I am mourning him with this green dress for what he did.
Among the hundreds trooping to the South African diplomatic mission are politicians. Dr. Mrs. Elizabeth Tamanjong, Secretary General of the main opposition political party in Cameroon, the SDF, says she is also a member of the Women's Academy, an association that has the ANC as a member. She regrets Mandela's departure.
So I came to register my sympathy on the passing away of a hero, a pillar of Africa, somebody whose values is worth emulating. It's rare to find somebody like Madiba, who was so forgiving. He stood for his values, and he was a father of Africa, both for the whites and the blacks. From what I read about him, he didn't go to prison just for the whites, just for the blacks, but also for the oppressed whites, the color, because of Indian origin and so on. I think he has left a mark for other leaders to emulate. So forgiving as Christians, we have a lot to learn from him, and praying that the Lord Almighty should take his soul to his blessed kingdom, and also bless South Africans and guide them to follow the examples of forgiveness, love and peace, which Madiba stood for, and a united South Africa more than ever.
The massive presence of Cameroonians to mourn with South Africans, according to Zenale Makina, once more portrayed the excellent friendship between Cameroon and South Africa, boosted in 1996 when Mandela visited Cameroon twice.
We've always known that Cameroonians are one with us. They are brothers. We love Cameroon so much, and we knew that they were always conscious of the personality of President Mandela and the country and the nation of South Africa. We are humbled by their immediate response. Soon we will also be making some announcements in how we can receive it properly and also give them a channel to express their own grief over the issue. And hopefully also we think that we will also open yet another channel, a channel which we think probably would have to be cultural, in which the people and the youth of Cameroon will come together to commemorate and to celebrate President Nelson Mandela.
She asked that Africa has learned a lot from the departed Mandela.
We are hopeful for Africa. I'm one of the people that is very hopeful about Africa. We are already seeing the winds of change in the way that governance is done in Africa. It is no longer like the past 20 years, if you like, and 10 years. You can travel around the continent today. There's so much changes and there's so much determination in the African Union. NEPAD gave us also another way of looking at things. All those things are the legacies of President Nelson Mandela. These are the things that came with the era of the release of President Nelson Mandela.
Cameroonians have been glued to their TV sets to join South Africans and the world in praying for the repose of the soul of Mandela in perfect peace. Reporting for Channel Africa, this is Moki Kinzeka in Yaoundé.
The body of Nelson Mandela will lie in state at the Union Buildings in Pretoria to allow members of the public to pay their last respects. The three-day program will start tomorrow, a day after the official memorial service. Mandela died last week Thursday after a long battle with a lung infection. He was 95. Senior journalist Tabile Mapanga reports.
Former President Nelson Mandela is the first South African to have his body lying in state, as will be the case this week. The concept of having a body lying in state goes back to pre-Christian times to show the public that a leader had died. Professor of Social Anthropology at Wits University, David Kaplan, says in modern times it's an honor and a display of respect.
Get the two sides of respect. One should respect the great leaders, but also pay respects to a great person, as in this case, the father of our contemporary nation, whom we all want to say goodbye to in a very respectful and high-minded way. Oh, a display of respect that this was a person whose life was identified with the state or with the country. So when we say lying in state, it means, you know, within the embrace of the state as the authority over the people.
South Africans and visitors will get a chance to view Madiba's body at the Union Buildings from Wednesday to Friday. Government has urged the public to come out in numbers and line the routes where the body will be transported. Minister in the Presidency, Collins Shabani.
The procession will leave One Military Hospital at 7 a.m. daily, and President Mandela's body will be on view from 8 a.m. On Wednesday, the Mandela family and VIPs will view the body from 10 a.m. Members of the public will file past the body from 12 to 17:30. On Thursday and Friday, December 12th and 13th, the public will have access to the place from 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m.
Shabani says mourners will be transported from the Pretoria showgrounds west of the city to the Union Buildings and back. This is the only way they can get access to the Union Buildings. Once inside the premises, Shabani urges the public to be dignified and follow the rules.
Mourners are advised that cameras and cell phones will not be allowed at the Union Buildings, and mourners are advised not to bring cameras and cell phones in their possession.
Mandela's body will be prepared at the One Military Hospital for the three-day viewing. Chabane says thousands of people are expected to view the body every hour.
Mourners will be expected to keep moving past the casket without pausing. This is to ensure that as many people as possible get to pay their last respects. In this way, it is expected that up to 2,000 people can file past the casket each hour.
ANC members will hold a ceremony on Saturday at Waterkloof Air Force Base near Pretoria before Mandela's body is flown to Kumu. Mandela's funeral service will be held at his home village on Sunday. Tabile Mapanga, Johannesburg.
I, Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela, do hereby swear to be faithful to the Republic of South Africa.
He is not a ruler like just telling people what to do. He didn't rule us, he led us.
His role as president in the process of nation building was exemplary and wonderful.
You could disagree with him, he would disagree with you, you could even be quite testy with each other,
and yet it wouldn't affect the overall relationship of your own cooperation or friendship.
Nelson Mandela, a giant of two centuries.
And in keeping with paying tribute to our fallen hero, a true son of the soil and the father of the South African nation, here is a, not really a tribute, but allow me to take you back in time. This was a message read in Parliament in 1999 by the now former President Thabo Mbeki when he was bidding Utatu Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela goodbye when he was stepping down from Parliament. Here's how it went.
Ushawa sabele fiche uthwelothuli lezithoza abaphambi wadade mafini njengokhosi wadelela inkunzana njengemambe emnyama lathi izulu liqelathi ndudumo nombane ladede lilanga nalo lithanda ukubuka libukele azotha amazwe onke ngokuthethelwa ngamene evule lithutyana lwemilozi kubantwana bezulu lebezibanzi ziphulaphula izingqi zekhehla de wavule kukhoqoqo siyinginginya sisonke ngoba namhlanje sifuna ukukhashela sithi sinandizi madiba dalibhulu msimbithi wesizwe pome iduna yomthonyama sifalande. You have walked along the road of the heroes and the heroines. You have borne the pain of those who have known fear and learned to conquer it. You have marched in front when comfort was in the midst of the ranks. You have laughed to contend against the river of tears. You have tried to broadcast the story of joy. And now you leave this hallowed place to continue to march in front of a different detachment of the same army of the sun. Not the comfort of the fond superintendence of the growing stalks of the maize plant, or of the nguni head with its milk, its flesh, or its hide. Nor the pleasant chatter of your grandchildren with mountains to climb which are but little mounds. Not the pensive silence of the elderly whose burdened minds cascade backwards. Because to look too much into the future is to impose a burden on those that have grown old. You leave us here because you have to start again. The accident of your birth should have condemned you to a village. Circumstances you did not choose should have confined you to a district. Your sight, your heart, and your mind could have reached no further than the horizon of the natural eye. But you have been where you should not have been. You have faced death and said, do your worst. You have inhabited the dark dungeons of freedom denied. Itself a denial to live in a society where freedom was denied. You have looked at the faces of some of those were your comrades, who turned their eyes away from you because somewhere in their mortal being, there lingered the remnants of a sense of shame, always and forever whispering softly, no to treachery. A thing in the shadows, present at every dawn, repeating, I am conscience, to whom you have denied a home. You have not asked, who indeed are these for whose lives I was prepared to die? You have asked, where am I, Nelson Mandela, that I too did not falter, so that I too could turn my own eyes away from myself and another who was a comrade? You have stood at the brink when you were to appeal to the gods about whether to win a dishonorable peace or to lose the lives of your people, and decided that none among these would exchange their lives for an existence without honor. You have been where nobody should be asked to be. You have carried burdens heavier than those who felt it their responsibility and right to proclaim you an enemy of the state. You had to convince your enemies to believe a story difficult to believe, because it was true, that your burnished spear glittered in the rays of the sun, not to speak of hatred and death for them, but because you prayed that its blinding brilliance would tell them, whose ears would not hear, that you love them as your own kith and kin. You have had to bear the mantle of sainthood when all you thought was pride in the knowledge that you were a good foot soldier for justice and freedom. But despite it all, and because of it all, we are blessed. You are blessed because you have walked along the road of our heroes and heroines. For centuries, our own African sky has been dark with suffering and foreboding. But because we never surrendered, for centuries, the menace in our African sky has been brightened by the light of our stars. Those standing like little giants, because we stand on your shoulders and others of your generation, we must proclaim it to the world that here, in these houses of the lawgivers, we have striven to do the right things. Because to have done otherwise would have been to condemn ourselves to carry for all time the burden of having insulted all the sacrifices you made. After a long walk, we too have arrived at the starting point of a new journey. We have you, Madiba, as our nearest and brightest star to guide us in our way. We will not get lost.
This is Channel Africa, South Africa's official international public radio station on shortwave, internet, and satellite. From an African perspective, listen to Channel Africa in English, Kiswahili, French, Silozi, Portuguese, and Chinyanja, informing the world about Africa. Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance.
This is Africa Digest. Today marks 17 years since former President Nelson Mandela signed South Africa's constitution into law. The legal document is the foundation of Mandela's ideal of establishing a society based on democratic values, social justice, and human rights. Melanie Moses takes a look at Mandela's influence on our constitution and the freedom we enjoy today. The 10th of December 1996 is the day that will forever remain in history books.
Today, we cross that critical threshold. Let us now, drawing strength from the unity which we have fought, together grasp the opportunity and realize the vision enshrined in this constitution.
Addressing the nation at the signing of the constitution in Sharpeville, former President Nelson Mandela expressed the desire of his heart.
Let us give practical recognition to the injustices of the past by building a future based on equality and social justice. Let us nurture our national unity by recognizing with respect and joy the languages, cultures, and religions of South Africa in all their diversity. Let tolerance for one another's views create the peaceful conditions which give space for the best in all of us to find expression and to flourish.
South Africa's constitution is the cornerstone of our democracy. It outlines the Bill of Rights, where everyone is equal before the law and has the right to life, freedom of religion, thought, belief, and opinion, freedom of expression, and freedom of association. Our constitution is among the most progressive in the world, but it came after years of struggle and negotiation. As the chief representative of the National Party government in the multi-party negotiations in 1993, Rolf Meyer played a prominent role in changing the political landscape. He says Mandela knew exactly what he wanted.
He was very clear in what he wanted to achieve during the negotiations. He used his power to obtain certain compromises, certain concessions, but at the same time he was reasonable in his approach. I never had the feeling personally that he was just walking over us. Never.
Former President Thabo Mbeki says the drafting and signing of the constitution was a turning point for South Africa.
For the first time, we agreed on a common vision about what South Africa should be. That national constitution bears the very heavy imprint of the vision and the values which Nelson Mandela and this generation stood for. The non-racial South Africa and non-sexist South Africa. A South Africa that would address the injustices of the past. A South Africa which would ensure that we all live in reconciliation. We unite as one people. It was good that in the end, this was a vision that all of us shared.
Director of Research and Archive at the Nelson Mandela Foundation, Vern Harris, says for Madiba, the constitution was the jewel in the crown of the post-apartheid democratic order.
Madiba regarded it as a cornerstone for our democracy. In fact, when he spoke in 1994 after being elected as president on the 9th of May, he said, and I'm quoting him, "We have fought for a democratic constitution since the 1880s. So for him, it was something that through long, long struggle was finally realized in 1996.
Along with the anniversary of the signing of our constitution, today also marks International Human Rights Day. Losa Naidu from the Council for the Advancement of the South African Constitution says Mandela is synonymous with the idea of freedom and the advancement of human rights.
One of his greatest virtues was his capacity to listen and to bring people together. So I think that that spirit of inclusivity, of participation, are principles that still permeate our current constitution.
Former State President F.W. de Klerk agrees.
It is my hope that his death will remind us of the need for reconciliation, will refocus us to the extent that we have become unfocused on the need to uphold the Constitution and the values that it encapsulates.
He says Madiba himself lived the values in the Constitution.
I remember with great warmth the moment he spontaneously, when after his inauguration, he and I and Thabo Mbeki went to the terrace of the Union Buildings, grabbed my hand, grabbed Thabo Mbeki's hand, and it's a famous photo now, and held the hands in the air, sending the message that notwithstanding previous divisions, together we will build the new South Africa.
Mbeki says while we should indeed celebrate Mandela's life, we should also ask ourselves an important question.
What about the future? That may very well be the most important part of the celebration of the life of Nelson Mandela. The Constitution would be a good starting point. How far are we after 20 years almost of democracy? And what should we do next to accelerate progress towards the achievement of these goals that are contained in our Constitution?
Former South African President Thabo Mbeki ending that story by our senior reporter Melanie Moses in Johannesburg. United States Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel is ordering the U.S. military to transport troops from Burundi into the Central African Republic to help quell the latest upsurge in violence there. He approved the order at the request of the French Defense Minister, CAR President Michel Tatodia, declared a three-day period of mourning for the hundreds of recent victims of sectarian violence in Bangui. Amnesty International says the civilian population of the CAR is in urgent need of protection for 4 days into the worst spate of violence in the conflict to date. Amnesty International, Sue-Anne Mariner.
The current situation here in the Central African Republic is extremely desperate. You have tens of thousands of displaced people in Bangui, the capital, that are living in ad hoc camps where they lack food, basic medical care. They are living in a situation of great insecurity. They face the possibility of continuing attacks by the government.
Obviously,
extremely difficult to disarm groups who don't want to be disarmed and who hide their weapons, which is what we have been hearing people are doing now.
But we know that the unrest in the Central African Republic never really subsided after the Seleka took over the country. But what has caused this recent upsurge in the violence that has left 100 dead in a matter of a few days?
Right now, our count, there are an official count of 459 killed in 2 days of violence. But we know that people have been buried in basically backyard burial areas. So our sense is that, or some credible estimates, are up to 1,000 people having been killed in the 2 days of violence. As you mentioned, the history of the Central African Republic doesn't give great grounds for optimism in terms of accountability for these atrocities. But I think the level of violence that's occurred now is certainly higher than we've seen even in recent years in the Central African Republic under quite a decent government. And there's now a higher level of international attention to the crisis here. So I think their efforts to bring a measure of accountability, potentially prosecute some of the perpetrators of these abuses, and at least to ensure that the new government is constituted out of people who don't have this kind of abusive record.
Joanne Mariner, head of the crisis group at Amnesty International, speaking to Jose Hodinake earlier. Coming up, there's another tribute by a remarkable Renaissance woman who's hailed as one of the great voices of contemporary literature in America. She's a poet, she's a historian, and she's an author. Here is Maya Angelou paying tribute to former President of South Africa, Nelson Mandela.
His day is done. Is done. The news came on the wings of a wind, reluctant to carry its burden. Nelson Mandela's day is done. The news expected and still unwelcome reached us in the United States, and suddenly our world became somber. Our skies were leaden. His day is done. We see you, South African people, standing speechless at the slamming of that final door through which no traveler returns. Our spirits reach out to you, Bantu, Zulu, Xhosa, Boer.
This poem is her attempt to express the sentiments of the American people at the passing of President Mandela. In the poem, she goes through the sweeping arc of his remarkable history. She talks about the end of his life, but makes it clear that we all have an expectation that we're going to carry forth with his legacy. So it's an expression of condolences to the people of South Africa, but it's also a celebration of a remarkable life and epic accomplishment.
And of course, this is one of the many ways that the United States is not only paying tribute to this global icon, but is also honoring his legacy.
Yes, there's been a tremendous outpouring in the United States and obviously throughout the world at the news of President Mandela's passing. I'm sure saw the eloquent and emotional remark that our President Obama gave to the American people and citizens of the world at the passing, and he noted that his political coming of age coincided with the anti-apartheid period and the activities that he participated in then. And clearly, you should also know there's a clear connection between Dr. Angelou and Nelson Mandela. Not only did she meet him, but at his 1994 inauguration, I'm sure your listeners recall President Mandela reciting her iconic poem, Still I Rise. And I still get chills thinking about Madiba saying those words. You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trot me in the very dirt, but still my best hour of mine. And that's a poem that he read constantly when he was imprisoned in Robben Island.
And have you had the opportunity to share a few moments of your life with Mr. Mandela?
I was blessed to be in the presence of Madiba twice. First, a short while after he had been released from Robben Island, then he came to the United States to seek support, and we celebrated his release and the promise of democracy in the future of South Africa with parade that I was privileged to have organized in New York and many other celebratory events. And then I came to South Africa in 1991 with a delegation to support the furtherance of freedom and justice in this country. And I again got to meet Madiba and other future leaders of South Africa. So it was my great good fortune, and I always count myself blessed for having been in his presence.
We understand that not only has Dr. Maya Angelou granted the United States Department of State an exclusive global rights to use the poem, but we also understand that this poem is available in different texts and video formats. It has been translated to quite a number of languages.
It is. It's been translated into 15 languages, and it's available with subtitles in all the languages that are spoken here in South Africa. And if your listeners are interested in watching Dr. Angelou recite the poem, they need only go to our U.S. Embassy website, which is southafrica.usembassy.gov.
In tearful voices, we lift our own to say thank you. Thank you, our Gideon. Thank you, our David, our great courageous man. We will not forget you. We will not dishonor you. We will remember and be glad that you lived among us, that you taught us, and that you loved us.
Commander, I pledge you in the name of peace,
never and never again
salute me, but this beautiful love will again experience the oppression of one by another.
You tuned to a special Channel Africa and SABC broadcast in memory of Nelson Mandela.
This is Channel Africa, South Africa's official international public radio station on shortwave, internet and satellite. From an African perspective, listen to Channel Africa in English, Kiswahili, French, Silozi, Portuguese, and Chinyanja, informing the world about Africa. Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance.
Former President Nelson Mandela wasn't a brilliant orator like Winston Churchill, John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King, or Barack Obama, but Mandela was one of the most quoted and influential people in the world, and he often got standing ovations without even saying a word. Such was the appreciation for his sacrifices, lack of retribution, and commitment to democracy. When Mandela did speak, he measured his words, spoke confidently, and often disarmed everyone with his unique brand of humor. Angie Catalanis highlights some of Nelson Mandela's classic soundbites in almost half a century, from 1961 to 2009. Angie Catalanis compiled the following report.
The Africans require the franchise on the basis of one man, one vote, or one political vote. We have made it very clear in our policy.
This is the oldest known recording of Nelson Mandela. In May 1961, Brian Woodlake and Len Dudley secretly interviewed 42-year-old Mandela for the British broadcaster ITN. Mandela was the most wanted terrorist in Africa. He was on the run from the apartheid authorities. It was during those dangerous times that Mandela first called for an armed struggle at the home of Wits University native law lecturer Julius Lewin, near Zoo Lake in Johannesburg.
There are many people who feel that it is useless and futile for us to continue talking peace and non-violence against a government whose reply is only savage attack on an unarmed, defenseless people. And I think the time has come for us to consider.
The banned ANC initially took Mandela to task for his explosive off-the-cuff statements. But within months, it established its armed wing of Kontuwe Sizwe, with Mandela as its first commander-in-chief.
I have cherished the idea of a democratic and free society in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunities. It is an idea of which I hope to live, but will not. If it may be, it is an idea of which I am prepared to die.
45-year-old Nelson Mandela uttered these historic words on the 20th of April 1964. Silence and tears filled the Palace of Justice in Pretoria as the first accused in the Rivonia sabotage trial continued to wage his freedom struggle from the dock.
Africans, after this whole work, which they are capable of doing, and not work with the government declared the capital of, we want to be part of the general population and not confined to living in our ghettos. We want to be political partners because without our disabilities will be permanent.
Transvaal Judge President Porter's defense jailed Mandela and his seven co-accused for life on the 12th of June 1964. De Wet effectively silenced them for almost a generation.
I have fought against white domination. And I have fought against black domination.
71-year-old Nelson Mandela reiterated his belief in equality on the 11th of February 1990, shortly after President F.W. de Klerk had freed him. As soon as South Africa's first democratic election was imminent, the two men were jointly awarded the Nobel Peace Prize.
We can today even set the dates when all humanity will join together to celebrate one of the outstanding human victories of our century. When that moment comes, we shall together rejoice in a common victory over racism, apartheid, and white minority rule.
And that's exactly what happened at the Carlton Hotel in Johannesburg in May 1994. Mandela's political party, the ANC, overwhelmingly won 63% of the ballots.
I stand before you, filled with deep pride and joy. Pride in the ordinary, humble people of this country. You have shown such a calm, patient determination to reclaim this country from the rooftops, free at last. Let there be peace for all. Let there be work.
Mandela's inauguration as South Africa's first black president at the age of 75 was another momentous occasion. Almost everyone put their lives on hold to witness history in the making.
Never, never, and never again shall it be that this beautiful land will again experience the oppression of one by another and suffer the indignity. Of being the strength of the world. Let freedom reign. God bless Africa. I thank you.
In October 1994, Mandela became the first black South African head of state to address the United Nations in its 49-year history.
The millions that cross our grave will stand expectant at the gates of hope. Look to this organization to bring them peace, to bring them a life worth living.
He handed over the ANC leadership to Thabo Mbeki in Mahikeng on Reconciliation Day in 1997.
All that remains for me to say is that the struggle continues. Amanda Gawesu. Mata Kiwarumo.
At the age of 80, Nelson Mandela set an unprecedented example by leaving the presidency on the 14th of June 1999 after only a single five-year term.
I wish to say that it has been a profound privilege to be accountable to this parliament. Though there is sadness in leave taking, I am filled with contentment by the signs of voices that I have heard in the many debates that I have attended. The long walk continues. Zala Kent, Moi Rook,
De La Soul.
And those were Madiba's quotable quotes and sound bites collected from 1961 to 2009 by Angie Kapaliadis. It is 1945 Central African time. Here's Rasani with your economics news.
Good evening. The World Trade Organization's first comprehensive agreement involves an effort to simplify the procedures for doing business across borders. There will also be improved duty-free access for goods sold by the world's poorest countries. The deal, which could add about $1 trillion to world trade, gives developing nations more scope to increase farm subsidies. Indonesian Trade Minister Gita Wirjawan says the bill will benefit all WTO members, while British Prime Minister David Cameron says the historic agreement could be a lifeline for the world's poorest people, as well as benefiting British businesses to the tune of more than $1 billion. Kenya has formally launched a new Chinese finance railway, which will extend across East Africa to reach South Sudan, DRC and Burundi. The first section will link the Kenyan port of Mombasa to the capital, Nairobi, reducing the journey time from 15 hours to about 4 hours. It is said to be the country's biggest infrastructure project since independence 50 years ago. The cost of the railway line will be $5.2 billion, mostly funded by China. Some Kenyans have complained that the contract was given to the Chinese state-owned company, China Road and Bridge Corporation, without going to tender. Italian energy company Eni has completed repairs on a Nigerian pipeline damaged by fire and is reopening production. On Sunday, Eni said it has shut down flow stations to the Debidaba Brass pipeline due to a fire. The company did not say what the cause of the fire was, but that its facilities in Niger Delta were often targeted by oil thieves and saboteurs. Eni has not said how much production was lost, but in the previous shutdowns of the pipelines, about 47,000 barrels per day has been deferred. Business confidence in Mauritius has improved in the fourth quarter. This has firms focused on new markets in Africa and the Indian Ocean region. Confidence, which hit its lowest level in 3 years in the third quarter, crept back to 88 points in 3 months to December, still significantly below 2010 base level for 100 points. The Economiso reports.
Mauritius forecasts economic growth of between 3.8 and 4% next year, against an estimated 3.2% this year. This says it looks to fast-growing African and Asian markets. This to cut its traditional dependency on Europe, but growth is slow. Easier access to private credit and improved trade logistics had also helped boost confidence. Mauritius trimmed its key repo rate in June by 25 basis points to 4.65%. More than three-quarters of the 81 firms polled said they did not expect to raise their prices in the next quarter.
And finally to Libya, where Oil Minister Abdelbari Al-Rusi says the country has lost more than $7 billion and faces new competition from Algeria and Nigeria in oil markets due to strikes at oil fields and ports, drying up exports. A mix of militias, tribesmen and civil servants have seized most oil ports and fields to demand more political power or higher pay, throttling Libya's oil export lifelines. The OPEC member producer is facing turmoil as Prime Minister Ali Zaidan's government struggles to control dozens of their former militias who helped oust Muammar Gaddafi 2 years ago, but refuse to give up their arms. And that's your economics news.
Africans require franchise on the basis of one man, one vote.
Mandela set an unprecedented example by leaving the presidency on the 14th of June 1999 after only a single 5-year term.
I wish to say
that it has been a profound privilege to be accountable to this parliament. Though there is sadness in leave-taking, I am filled with contentment by the sounds of voices that I have heard in the many debates that I have attended. The long walk continues. Zela Nke, Moi Nuk, Sela Tseu.
Nelson Mandela devoted his retirement to the most vulnerable in society. In 2002, he lent his Robben Island prison number 46664 to a global HIV/AIDS campaign. One of its strategies was to stage high-profile concerts, such as the first one in Cape Town at the end of November 2003.
AIDS is no longer just a disease. It is a human rights issue.
There were tears of joy and scenes of jubilation on the 15th of May 2004. FIFA President Sepp Blatter announced in Zurich, Switzerland, that South Africa would host the Soccer World Cup 6 years later. Mandela had been South Africa's unofficial mascot. Although Mandela felt like a young man of 15, he warned everyone that he wouldn't be around forever.
I am realistic. I don't have long to live. I can see the grave where I'm going to be buried.
About 2 weeks later, on the 1st of June 2004, Nelson Mandela again announced his retirement. This is for real, said the 85-year-old international icon.
My family and advisors have warned me not to tell my favorite story about arriving at heaven's door, knocking, providing my name, and being sent to the other place. Apparently, that story makes too many people morose. I am confident that nobody present here today will accuse me of selfishness if I ask to spend time while I'm still in good health with my family, my friends, and also with myself. When I told one of my advisors a few months ago that I wanted to retire, he growled at me, "You are retired." If that is really the case, then I should say, I now announce that I'm retiring from retirement. The appeal, therefore, is don't call me. I'll call you. Thank you for being kind to an old man, allowing him to take a rest, even if many of you may feel that after loafing somewhere on an island and other places for 27 years, the rest is not really deserved.
A personal tragedy forced Mandela out of retirement in January 2005. From his manicured garden in Houghton, Johannesburg, he told the world that his only surviving son, Mahatu, had succumbed to AIDS.
For more than 3 years, I have been saying, let us give publicity to HIV/AIDS and let her hide it. The only way of making it appear to be a normal illness, just like TB, my cancer, is always to come out and to say a member of my family has died of AIDS, and I want them to bring it.
As the years went by, Mandela appeared and spoke less frequently in public. The 46664 concert in Hyde Park, London, in June 2008, was a rare treat.
After nearly 90 years of life, it is time for you here to lift the burdens.
It is in your hands now.
On the 15th anniversary of South Africa's first democratic election, Mandela's Foundation and 4664 called for his birthday on the 18th of July to be declared Mandela Day. They wanted to create a movement for good in which everyone could make a difference by serving their communities. In November 2009, the United Nations inscribed Nelson Mandela International Day on its annual calendar in recognition of his contribution to peace and freedom.
We are humbled by the call for an annual Mandela Day. Our struggle for freedom and justice was a collective effort. Mandela Day is no different. It is in your hands to create a better world for all who live in it.
Although Nelson Mandela was still filmed and photographed occasionally as a nonagenarian, these were among his last words in public. I'm Angie Kaplianis in Johannesburg. This is Africa Digest. And that's how we wrap it up on Africa Digest today. For myself, Pobedi Wanamani, and the rest of the team, thank you for listening, to comment on the show. Send your email to info@channelafrica.org. Taking us now to the top of the hour here, Sally Pater singing Mandela.
Thank you.